Hello and welcome back to episode number 4 of the Punching Pod with me and Oscar. As always, how are we, mate? This week it's been a while. You know, it's been about 1 or 2 weeks. I've missed this. So, what have you been up to?
I'm very good, thanks, mate. And I've missed it too. I feel like there's lots to talk about. I feel like this episode's going to be a bit of a roundup of all the boxing news that's happened the past few weeks, and there's obviously been a lot of it. So, yeah, I'm just excited to get back to talking fight sports with you, mate.
Yeah, I was about to say, since we last recorded, I don't think anything that significant's happened, right, in boxing.
mate, don't be silly. There's always stuff to talk about in boxing.
Yeah, that's the thing. As you mentioned, there always is something to talk about. And I mean, last time we recorded, we're going to be talking all things. Well, it seems to be every week we talk all things Saudi Arabia, but this week we've got, obviously, I think they're calling it the day of reckoning. This one is with Anthony Joshua Wilder, and probably, arguably, you could probably say the one of the biggest cards ever that's been put on in Saudi Arabia. We had Katie Taylor and Cameron last night. So yeah, there's much to talk about. Since we last recorded, actually, I've been down to York Hall for a boxing event. Not traditional boxing, though. Of course, it's Misfits. We talked about an episode a couple of weeks ago now on influencer boxing and how it's changed the landscape of things. So I went down. It must have been last Friday now, down to York Hall. We had a couple influencers. It was good, mate. Jarvis and B Dave were the headliners.
What did you think to the venue itself? Because it's historically, it's one of the oldest boxing venues, and for me, I mean, the atmosphere was just palpable. Like it's one of the best venues for boxing because how intimate it is and how the sound just reverberates around the arena. So what did you think of the venue?
Yeah, mate, I loved it, to be fair. It is a good little gaff. Like it is. It's got that old school feel about it. You walk straight in and the ring's right in front of you, and you've got the bar, and it's, as you said, it's really intimate. So the atmosphere, you can really, really feel it. And obviously you've got the balcony over the ring, overlooking the ring. So I think, yeah, as you said, there's been many, many a cards at York Hall. It's just an iconic boxing venue in the UK.
Someone we're going to be talking about on this episode, Anthony Joshua, he fought at York Hall. Pretty much every British boxer who's really made a name for themselves in the sport has at some point in their career fought at York Hall. I wrote an article about it not too long ago, and it's just a place that's steeped with history. So I'm glad you got to experience a more authentic boxing environment, albeit with the Misfit stuff going on in the ring.
Yeah, you've just published an article. Do you want to speak a little bit about that with Mike Costello, I believe?
Oh, yeah. So I got to interview Mike a few weeks ago, and he's just a really interesting person to speak to. He's one of the gems of British broadcasting, I would say. And his story is just amazing. He initially worked in the accounts department at the BBC and then worked his way up to a reporting role for BBC Sport and then eventually BBC World Service radio platform. And he got to interview Usain Bolt when he was just 17 years old, which is just crazy. Wow. When you think of who Usain Bolt went on to become and still is just one of the sporting icons, he interviewed Usain Bolt in Jamaica when he was just 17. He's interviewed Floyd Mayweather, just so many other huge names in all different sports. And that was a really interesting interview. And the article, people seem to have enjoyed the article too. So, was happy to finally get that off.
Yeah, go check that out if you haven't read it already. There'll be lots more fighting content up on the Sports Gazette. As we said, there's been a lot going on in the boxing world since we last recorded. The Day of Reckoning, as I said, seems to be the name of they've chosen for this one. I mean, I don't know how you feel about these names, but I mean, that's another thing. Just give me your initial thoughts on this card, Oscar, because it's one of the biggest cards we've ever had in boxing. It's come at a time where obviously Saudi Arabia are making moves in every sport, not just boxing. So yeah, just give me your initial thoughts on the card.
Yeah, I think it's a big card because of the name value that's actually on it. I mean, you've got Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, Joseph Parker, Gerald Miller. These are all huge names in the sport. And I think it helps the fact that it's predominantly a heavyweight card, which is what will ultimately drive the pay-per-view sales, because it's a red-ribbon division of boxing. Everyone seems to take an interest in the heavyweight division. So that's obviously a huge advantage for the promotional side. I think, obviously, we all know the reason why these promoters, these broadcasters have been brought together in one space. It's because of the money that's on the table and is being provided by Saudi Arabia. And I think the fact that you've got Frank Warren, who's sitting on the table at the press conference and says, look, we're doing it all for the fans. This is what the fans have been wanting. So this is what we're giving you. We all know the real reason you're there, Frank. Don't try and pull the wool over our eyes. But yeah, I think obviously it was recently announced that the fight is going to be broadcasted on DAZN, which fans weren't really too sure about, because when you see Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren sitting on the table for the first time ever, by the way, that's the first time they've ever met, and they're doing a press conference together, which is just crazy. But it will be on DAZN. Obviously, that is the home for Anthony Joshua. And yeah, as I say, I just like to reiterate that it's a card that's steeped with names, but in terms of competitive fights, that seems to be somewhat missing, in my opinion. What are your thoughts?
I begin with before I mention what I actually think of the card, by saying, look, it's one of the biggest cards we've ever seen in boxing, and it is one of the best cards we've ever seen in boxing in terms of name value. The promoters, albeit different reasons, have done well to all come together to make this card happen. And it's an amazing card, and I'm sure and will definitely watch it. It'll bring in loads of attention to boxing, and it is a good first stepping stone for boxing. It's a good step forward for what we've had in the past. However, that's the positives of what you can take. However, as you said, we all know why this card has been put together. And once again, boxing fans are being taken for a bit of a ride. They're being taken the piss out of a little bit, in my opinion. You've got there Anthony Joshua and Deontay Wilder fighting in the same arena and the same night, and they're not fighting each other. And I think that sums up this card. You have Damore. I'll quote Damore, who's fighting Hrgović. The presenter in the press conference asked him, what will a win mean to you? Now, the first things you would think is, oh, for my career, it will be amazing. I can pursue other matchups higher, and it will elevate my stature and career. First thing he said was, the money will change my life. And that sums up this whole card. The only reason we have this card is because of the Saudis, because of Saudi Arabia. And in some way, I don't have any grievances towards Saudi Arabia and His Excellency, as they always seem to mention before everything, because I actually think they're putting fights that good fights on for fight fans, which the promoters should have been doing for years, but they haven't. So Saudi Arabia have come along and gone, do you know what? We have the money to put on these fights. We'll do it. But Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, we've been calling for this fight for the past 6-7 years. Goddamn, people have been doing predictions for it for years. And it's only now we have them on the same card when the Saudis come in and offer you enough money, you can't say no. It's like the Saudis have gone to Frank Warren, gone to Eddie Hearn, gone to Boxer, and gone, do you know what, guys? Like, I know you all have been bickering for years, but here's money. And they just can't say no. And that is the only reason we have this card. So when Frank Warren bullshits everyone at the press conference saying, oh, it's for the fans, and like, we started, me and Tyson started this with Dan Garnu. Okay, you started this, but any idiot could organize Francis Ngannou, Fury, and this card because it's for the money. You know, and you just don't turn down that amount of money to make this card. Like, and like I said, don't get me wrong, the card's amazing, but why have we not got Anthony Joshua Wilder? We've got fights here. We've got Joshua Wallin, which, let's be fair, Anthony Joshua, we expect, should win. We've got Wilder Parker. Let's be fair, we all expect Wilder to win. So we've got fights here where name value, they're good, they are. But again, it's one of them where, as you said, boxing promoters are trying to pull the wool over our eyes and say, oh, they're really good fights. We're putting on the fights fans want. No one was calling for Joshua Wallin. No one was calling for Wilder Parker. We want to see the biggest and best fights. And yes, eventually we will probably get Joshua Wilder. But what about if we don't? What about if from out of nowhere, Parker or Wallin throw a punch and it fucks up the chance of Joshua Wilder forever? We've seen it. Otto Wallin nearly did that to Tyson Fury. We may have never got Tyson Fury Usyk if it wasn't for Wallin. So what's to say that won't happen on December 23rd? I think it's, once again, boxing and boxing promotions putting on fights to long it out, to grasp as much money you can get out of this storyline and this narrative as much as possible. Joshua and Wilder is the fight everyone wants to watch. Even Joshua, Gerald Miller, I would have rather have seen, and I don't know what, and we'll get into each fight-to-fight basis, but Gerald Miller has been going at Anthony Joshua since they were meant to fight. And Gerald Miller's another story. I don't know how that guy swindled his way onto another card after cheating, but I mean, we'll get on to him. But that's the thing about this card. Look, as I've mentioned, and I don't want to come across as a boxing hater and a critic, but I just think it's very easy to go, oh, look, these promoters put on a banging card for us, jobs are good and no complaints. It's not like that. You have to question the reasons why. And look, it's an amazing card. It's going to be an amazing event, an amazing event, as Saudi Arabia always seem to put on. But if we don't get Joshua Wilder, it will be one of the most criminal things we've seen from these promoters, because if they retire and we don't see this fight and we don't see maybe Joshua Fury, which we want to see as well, I just think it's another, it just doesn't sit right with me. It's just, you've put the, oh, we've been asking for this fight for years and now you put it on. Why did you put it on now? Of all times you could have made this card. And look, I would have loved, and I'm gonna watch Joshua Wallin and Wilder Parker and Dubois Miller, and they are gonna be entertaining fights. Don't get me wrong, they're not. It's not a clear victory for Joshua, and it's not like clear one side. They are good fights. Just leaves a bitter taste in my mouth. I don't know what you think about it, and this whole Joshua Wilder thing that fans have been calling for years, and we still haven't got it.
Yeah, well, to be honest, what I will say first and foremost is that I agree with you. I think boxing multiple times has shot itself in the foot by prolonging these fights from getting made. We want to see Joshua Wilder, but what I will say is, as boxing fans, we've kind of gotten used to the fact that more often than not, the big fights won't get named. So what you have to do is analyze and dissect each individual fight and say, okay, what does this fight have to offer? Like, is this going to be competitive? Is this going to be entertaining? And I think that's obviously what we're going to do in this episode, is just dissect each individual fight and just basically come to a conclusion as to whether this is worth paying the pay-per-view fee, which is what boxing has become. Like, when these fights get made, you're ultimately asking fans to pay a certain amount of money to see high-level boxing. And whether fans actually want to pay that money or not is going to be determined by how intriguing these fights actually are. So I don't know if you wanted to start by discussing some of the fights lower down the bill and then progress our way up to Joshua Wilder. But I guess, shall we start? Because you mentioned him, Hrgović against Dumouriez. But I'll say from my experience, I remember Dumouriez getting knocked out by David Haye in one round. And this was not long before David Haye lost to Tony Bellew. Don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of David Haye. At cruiserweight, I would say he's top five greatest cruiserweights of all time. But at heavyweight, he didn't quite have the same impact. And obviously, by the time he fought Dumouriez and Bellew, he was damaged good. So if a compromised version of David Haye can do what he did with Dumouriez, then who knows what an up-and-coming heavyweight contender like Filip Hrgović is going to do to Dumouriez.
I watched a press conference and I saw the way Damori was talking. And hey, look, he's the underdog. You never know, but I as you said, I see Hrgović just going in there and just getting the job done and getting out of there really. And I think Damori and this is what I will say. I don't have any grievances for any fighter on this card for taking. For being on this card, it's one of the best cards we've ever seen, and for taking the Saudis' money, and but I almost see a fighter like Demore and I go, do you know what? Like, this is a fighter that probably like deserves a bit of a payday. I don't blame him at all for taking it. He's not really done much in his career up to now. He's one of those fighters where. Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't he take this fight against Hrgović and get the money and it would change his life, as he said. Hey, Damori comes across as a really likable guy and a really honest guy, but as you said, I think we are just gonna see Hrgović go in there, and he's a young up and coming guy. Dubois and I mentioned there Darrell Miller. That is a fight which interests me, actually, if I'm being honest, because I think. That is a matchup which there's so many different storylines there, and this is where I go back to the thing of in boxing, it's hard to analyze a fight when you can't predict what the next fight may look like. So, for instance, we hope it's Wilder Joshua next if they both win, but you never know in boxing. Do you know what I mean? So it's hard to vet to analyze a fight like that, whereas. Jarrell Miller and Dubois, there's many different storylines, and obviously Dubois comes off the loss of against Alexander Usyk, but a lot of people were impressed by Dubois, and a lot of people thought he did a lot better than people expected. There's still some of that controversial over whether it was a low blow or not. What do you think about that, by the way, the low blow in the Usyk fight?
Well, I thought that was a very difficult decision to make on the referee's part. I think even looking at the footage, looking at the replay, it's one of them ones that you could argue both sides. I mean, it just reflects how subjective boxing is as a sport. And then when you've got judges scoring fights, even last night, I was thinking, I was scoring a fight a certain way, and then the judge had a complete different scorecard. Ultimately, it's a very subjective sport. Like we're seeing in football and VAR, a lot of these decisions are subjective. They're not clear cut. So I think in terms of the low blow controversy around Dubois versus Usyk, that's kind of been nipped in the bud at this point. We've moved on from that. But in terms of that
Oh,
fight between
well,
Dubois and
Frank
Jaron
Warren
Miller,
hasn't. Frank
well, no,
Warren.
Frank Warren hasn't. But Frank Warren's living back with the dinosaurs, isn't he? So I don't expect him to move on too quick. But yeah, I think with that fight between Dubois and Miller, I just wanted to say, obviously it's happening in Saudi Arabia, which comes with many issues in itself. One of those issues being the fact that Jaron Miller, who's I've lost track of the amount of substances he's been caught with in his system, he got popped for PEDs right at the very beginning of his career. Then he got popped for, I think, three performance-enhancing drugs against Anthony Joshua. That fight was called off. He was banned for 2 years, I think. Then he had to serve another 2-year ban because in his comeback, he tested positive. And now he's found himself with a lucrative sum of money on the horizon after he faces Daniel Dubois. So I think that just goes to show the nature of boxing, how these fighters are still being given the opportunities, even though they've blatantly cheated on multiple occasions. I mean, if it was up to me, I think he'd be banned from the sport altogether. Once you've cheated on three separate occasions, I don't think there's any justification to allow that individual to carry on competing in any other sport. They would be banned for life. So I think the fact that he's fighting Dubois in Saudi Arabia is just an absolute joke. But if we were to actually dissect that one and analyze it, we've got enough evidence on both fighters to kind of make judgment on who will win that. And I'm pretty confident that Daniel Dubois comes through that matchup. I think Jaron Miller, let's be honest, it was heavily enhanced by these drugs that he was taking during his career. So when he throws out statistics like, "Oh, I have the highest output in the heavyweight division. I throw the most punches out of anyone," I think, yeah, fair enough. You're able to do that juiced up to your eyeballs. But let's see how you get on when you're. Yeah, you haven't got that advantage. So I think Daniel Dubois, he gets a lot of stick, but he's a very talented young heavyweight still. Like, let's remind ourselves the fact that he is still quite early on in his career, which is amazing considering he's already fought Joe Joyce and Alexander Usyk. But I think he's got enough in his locker, and he's got decent enough power to gain the respect of Jaron Miller. He's got good enough fundamentals to perhaps even outbox Miller in certain spurs of this matchup. So I don't know how you see envisage that going, but I think Daniel Dubois comes through that with without there being too much jeopardy.
Look, it for me it's an interesting fight, but if we're talking objectively, Jaron Miller shouldn't even be on this card, never mind fighting Daniel Dubois. If you're gonna have him on the card, at least let him fight Anthony Joshua. That's the fight no one really, let's be fair, wants to see. Daniel Dubois versus Jaron Miller. He talks a good game. And he's been obviously going back and forward with Anthony Joshua. And you saw in the press conference, Jaron Miller brings a different side to Anthony Joshua that we haven't seen, the nasty side of Anthony Joshua. He's clearly not a good person. He's, as you said, he's been juiced all of his life. But I watched the press conference and it was very respectful and it was very nicey-nicey. When Jaron Miller got on the mic, all that changed. And it made me laugh because it was like, it's in Saudi and it's meant to be His Excellency. Thank you for the opportunity, blah, blah, blah. Jamel Miller got on the mic and does what he does best. And that's probably what he makes up for in his lack of being able to fight without drugs. So he shouldn't... No one wants to see this Dubois fight, and I think But it is an interesting fight because I think it's a fight where it's definitely not an easy matchup for Dubois. I think it's a good comeback fight against the against Usyk. I think it is a fight which could cause him problems. As you said, I do think just Dubois' his boxing technical skill will come through. I think he will come through Gerald Miller, but I could see an upset. Well, not I don't even know if it's an upset if Gerald Miller wins. Gerald Miller wins, it'll set up so many. It'll catapult his name into the conversation, back into the conversation with Anthony Joshua. Dubois, look. Something Gerald Miller said that he's as stale as a bag of chips. And I mean, it sums it up, really. I mean, look, Frank Warren needs to help him promote himself because he comes, he tries, he's a trier. He comes dressed in his suit with his bow tie and
He makes it worse when he tries, doesn't
yeah, it's
he?
yeah, that, and you hit it spot on. It's almost, you make it worse for yourself when just don't, everyone knows you're not the greatest on the mic. Don't like try and be like, I don't know. He gets.
He's a nice guy, though. He comes across like a
Like
nice guy.
he's a really nice guy, and look, like he's a really good fighter, clearly. And as you said, he's fought Joe Joyce and Usyk early on in his career. But I think another thing that I noticed is Frank Warren also puts a lot of pressure on this kid, which he is. He's only a kid, and I think Frank Warren is looking at maybe life after Tyson Fury, and he's thinking what. Daniel Dubois, Frank Warren believes can be a future heavyweight champion, and I think we haven't seen yet. I don't think it Dubois at that level, but I think Dubois needs to go out there and put a statement down, statement of intent. I think in his fights, all of his fights have been very maybe passive, and he's not the most exciting at press conferences. So I think he does need to go out there. And yeah, you're not good at press conferences. You're not a good talker, but let your fights do the talking. Go out there and knock out your opponents in quick time and make people sit up. I think now people are just kind of falling asleep when Daniel Dubois speaks, and he needs to just give him, it's like you watch him and you're like, come on, mate, this is your moment. You're on arguably one of the biggest cards ever. Just go out there and even chat shit back to Gerald Miller. Do something which makes me believe you're going to win. And that's the problem. Do you know what I mean?
I think, yeah, you make an important
I
observation there,
might be
but
being
it's,
harsh on Daniel Dubois.
yeah, I was just about to say it's slightly unfair on Daniel considering he's not the most confident talker in the world. But what I will say is a lot of the conversations around Daniel Dubois has been regarding whether he's got the minerals to compete at the highest level. I mean, a lot was made of the fact that he quit against Joe Joyce. He obviously, that fight in Oleksandr Usyk was way out of his depth. I think he still has a lot of developing to do, and he's got enough time to actually do that. I think he needs to be nurtured more. And obviously, you mentioned Frank Warren putting a lot of pressure on him to become this next superstar in British boxing. He's not necessarily going to be that if he's not given the right time, yeah, the right developing fights to actually push on and become a world champion, which I think he is capable of doing. I think he can achieve great things in the sport.
Gerald Miller, he's been out the sport. He's a scumbag, effectively. But
Oh, massively.
he's great at talking. He's great at promoting a fight. And really, that's really the only reason he's on this card. As we've said, he should never be near this card. But they've looked and gone, who's going to sell this card the most? Who's going to promote it? And that guy, say what you want about him, he's probably the best promoter as a fighter than anyone else on the card. So that's why he's here, and it's a big opportunity for him to set up a future fight against Anthony Joshua, who we'll talk about his fight against Wallin.
I think Joshua, he's on that particular day, he was in one of those moods where he just didn't want to be friend pally pally with anyone. He wanted to make it known that he was there for destruction. He's there to fight. And I think this new, almost new mindset of Joshua, where perhaps he's not as media friendly, he's not looking to do anyone too many favors. He's just out there to ultimately, at this stage in his career, potentially become a world champion again.
I
And
love that
that's
man.
all.
I love that
Yeah,
for him.
no, I love that because I think now you're seeing a more authentic version of Anthony Joshua. Back when he was heavyweight champion of the world, people would accuse him of being a media robot. And obviously, well, he was to an extent. I mean, a
Was.
lot of his answers to questions when he was being interviewed weren't actually revealing his personality. And he's got a great personality. I think if anyone's seen the Louis Theroux interview that he did with Anthony Joshua recently, you'll know that this is a man who's completely dedicated to the sport, who's sacrificed a lot to get to where he's got to.
He was the golden boy of Britain. He and he's done he's done an unbelievable job for British boxing. I think he's really elevated British boxing to what it is in this generation anyway, because I think he's that household name. Eddie Hearn, they built him and Matchroom, they built him up to be this household, family-friendly Anthony Joshua boxer. What do you think will happen in that fight? Where do you see it going?
Yeah, I mean, I make Anthony Joshua quite a significant favorite in that matchup.
Yeah.
Although I would say that Wallin is a solid operator in the heavyweight division. We mentioned his last fight against Murat Gassiev, who, although he's moved up from cruiserweight, has actually had multiple fights at heavyweight and has really filled into the weight division. That was not a competitive fight in any way. I think Wallin showed his class in that one, and he put a beating on Gassiev. So off the back of that, he's gonna come into the fight with lots of confidence, as you say, even with his prior victory over Tyson Fury. But I do expect Anthony Joshua to get the job done.
The next fight, I don't know what if you want to talk about Bivol or Arthur or Wilder Parker, which
Yeah,
one?
I'll touch on that quickly. First of all, obviously Lyndon Arthur's on the card against Dmitry Bivol. Bivol has had a long time out the ring. Following that, obviously, great victory over Canelo Alvarez, and then defending his belt against Gilberto Ramirez. He is pound for pound one of the best fighters in the sports. It's as simple as that. I love watching him. I've been a huge fan of his even way before he beat Canelo. He's just one of these pure boxers who, again, we mention technique, we mentioned boxing ring IQ, we mentioned ring generalship. He's a fighter who has all of these skills and assets down to a T. So I don't expect Lyndon Arthur to cause him too many problems, although Lyndon Arthur has racked up a few decent wins since that loss to Anthony Yard. So he'll be earning with a bit of confidence. And yeah, the other fight on the bill is Jaya Pattaya against Ellis Zorro. I don't, again, Jaya Pattaya, sensational fighter, best cruiserweight, in my opinion, by country mile at the minute. Obviously, we've got Crispin Smith in that division, but I think Jaya Pattaya is just a level above. And he is coming off that win against Jordan Thomas. And I don't think Ellis Zorro is too different of a prospect to Jordan Thomas. So again, I think it's pretty straightforward wins for both fighters. For fans who haven't seen Dmitry Bivol, I think definitely tune in to watch him because he is a special fighter in the sport at the minute.
And moving to the top of the bill with Wilder Parker, joint with obviously Joshua Wallin. What do you make of this fight? Because I have him watching the press conference. I'm really getting to like Deontay Wilder. I think he's coming across very genuine and very honest, and he's very open. And I think He's been very honest. He talked about how he's had his struggles in the sport, because I think he called his power a blessing and a curse. He said it's a curse because he's had struggles getting a fight because people avoid his power. People know the power he possesses. And he was very open about how actually, obviously, it's a blessing because it's gifted him with one of the greatest things you can have as a boxer, is that one punch knockout. But also, it's, you know, people tend to avoid you, and he's seen that happen throughout his career. But I don't know, I was watching that and I went, do you know what? I really like Wilder. After his fights, after his rivalry with Fury, I think Fury made him look like something he wasn't. I think Fury can do that. Fury makes a pantomime out of a press conference all the time. But when you actually observe Wilder and the way he speaks, I think he comes across very, very genuine, to be honest. I don't know what you made of
him. I completely agree with what you've just said there. I think following the second fight with Fury, I didn't like the way Wilder came up with all these excuses, and his attitude towards the media, quite frankly, just made me despise him for a certain amount of time. But then following that fight, following the third fight with Fury, where, let's be honest, that is one of the greatest heavyweight fights of all time. And we've seen a lot of great fights in that division, and that was a modern classic. So I think he really redeemed himself in that one. And he came out of that, although obviously with a defeat, having gained the respect of a lot of fans in the sport. So, yeah, I'm a fan of Deontay Wilder. I've always enjoyed watching him inside the ring. I mean, let's be honest, he is one of the most entertaining fighters out there at the minute because he possesses that one-punch knockout power. And yeah, I think, as you say, he came across very genuine in the press conference. I think with Wilder, he's doing it for the same reason that he's always done it, which is to benefit the future of his daughter, who obviously suffers from a very serious illness. That's the whole reason he became a professional boxer in the first place. And I think in that sense, he has such an incredible story, has obviously captivated the imagination of a lot of fans through that.
Yeah, I was genuinely impressed of the way he came across in the press conference. Wilder, he made a funny joke about everyone can shoot threes, but he prefers dunks. He said he can shoot threes if he wants, but it's the dunks that he likes, and it's the right hand that everyone comes to see and everyone pays their money for. In terms of Joseph Parker, how do you think he fares in this fight? Obviously, Wilder's going to be the heavy favourite. We saw Joseph Parker not long ago fight on the undercard of Ngannou Fury out in Saudi again. Seems to like these fights over in Saudi, so I think he gets on in this one.
So with this matchup, it's one of them ones where if you offered it to me, let's say 5 years ago, I would have been really interested. Purely because while Joseph Parker was Wilder riding the crest of a wave when he was beating the likes of Andy Ruiz and Alexander Povetkin as WBO world champion, I thought he had just really fast hand speed. He was, as we say, good technically, good with his feet. There was a lot to like about Joseph Parker when he was a world champion, but it seems to me like since that loss against Anthony Joshua, he's not quite been able to gain that same momentum that he had before. And obviously, more so since that defeat to Joe Joyce, where he was given quite a pacing in that one. I just don't think Joseph Parker actually offers enough by way of resistance anymore, which was one of his biggest assets. The fact that he would always bang on about this amazing granite chin that he's got, that he's a durable heavyweight, he can withstand a lot of punishment, and he wasn't able to do that against Joe Joyce. So when you put him in against Wilder, who hits harder than Joe Joyce, I think it only goes one way, and I see Wilder winning by a knockout.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Joseph Parker, he's good technically, and he's been around the block for some time now, and I think, again, he comes across, he's a really nice guy. I just don't think he offers enough to beat Deontay Wilder. He's not of that ilk anymore. And again, like we spoke at the start of going through the card, Joshua versus Wallin and Parker versus Wilder, both fights you expect Joshua and Wilder to come out on top. As we've said, that there are better fights than others on this card, like Dubois Miller, for example. I think that, as I said, that's a more evenly matched, I think. But again, even that match, that's a risky match for Dubois. Frank Warren mentioned in the press conference, it's a must win for Daniel Dubois. And it is, because if he loses to Gerard Miller, then we might not never know when he's next going to get that big chance at a belt like he fought against Usyk. So to just cap off the press conference, we had the face off. I found it funny how Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn, they'd never met, had they, before that press conference?
Oh, so they've never met, and what I found funny about that as well is the fact that in that face-off between Joshua and Wallin, where you've obviously got Eddie Hearn, who's a promoter of Joshua, you had Frank Warren to the left of him, or the right, whatever way you're looking at it, was trying to almost barge his way in just so he could be there within the snapshot of the media covering the fight. So
Hey, it was so awkward between Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren. Like, it was like the first time they'd met, but also like they weren't like very welcoming, and like they were very awkward standing next to each other. I think because they've had beef in the past. They don't really know how to like approach their
no.
relationship anymore. So
Well,
yeah.
I know they were interacting behind the scenes, and by all accounts, it was very amicable between them, which somewhat surprises me considering what's been said over the years. But I felt like when they were actually in the limelight, that's when they revealed their true intentions, which was ultimately wanting to be the face of Riyadh season, which Frank Warren's openly said himself. He feels like him and Tyson, as you mentioned, have started all of this, and that's why he was one of the loudest voices in the press conference. So when at the end you've got an Eddie Hearn fighter and Anthony Joshua faced off against his opponent, I did find it funny where you've got Frank Warren, who's just trying to get that little bit of attention that he can still seize at this stage in his career.
I just wanted to finish the episode on we had Katie Taylor and Cameron last night. What do you think of that fight? Obviously, Katie Taylor coming through the rematch, getting her belt back in Dublin. What do you make of it? It was corker, right?
I was very impressed with what Katie did last night, to be honest. I mean, the fact that, in my opinion, she got comprehensively beat against Cameron in the first fight, and ultimately embarrassed in front of her home fans. I saw her face following that defeat, and because Katie's just an outright winner. I mean, this was her first defeat as a professional. She had such a successful amateur career before that, so it was clearly gonna torture her the moment she lost to Cameron up until the moment she actually got her opportunity at Redemption. And yeah, she just completely made the most of it in the rematch. I thought she boxed really outstandingly at times. I think obviously Eddie Hearn's mentioned a possible fight in Croke Park for her. And the only one that really makes sense for me is the trilogy fight with Amanda Serrano. If you're gonna generate interest around an event like that, then it makes sense to bring back the name that is most synonymous with Katie Taylor, and that is Amanda Serrano. So hopefully they can get that one over the line.
We've covered near enough everything there on that card. I mean, we'll be talking loads more about this card on the lead up to it. Maybe we do an episode just before the 23rd, maybe final predictions. And then we had Tyson Fury and Usyk as well announced for early next year again in Saudi Arabia. So we'll mention we'll do a podcast on that, as we'll do an episode on that in the near future as well, Oscar. But it's been fun, mate.
Yep.
Be sure to check out, as we mentioned at the start, Oscar's article is now live with boxing legend commentator Mike Costello. And until next time, thanks for listening. Goodbye.